Welcome to the Bible Insights podcast with your host, Val Waldie. We're doing a bird's eye study in the series of the book of Revelation. It's one of the most exciting books in the Bible because it's written for and about our time. You could call it history written in advance. And now we're going to be moving into the third part, the things which will take place hereafter. John wrote his book in three parts. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. He was told to write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The things that he's seen was the revelation of the risen, resurrected Christ, who he describes in chapter 1. The things which are refers to the church age, the seven churches, and the whole church age, which we know is drawing to a close and will end with the rapture of the church. And then the third part of his book, which we're going to start today, is the things which will take place after this. It refers to the reign of Antichrist. The Lord promised the church in Revelation 3:10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole earth. There's coming a time of trouble for the whole earth, something that has never happened before. And that is known as the Great Tribulation under the reign of Antichrist. So from Revelation chapter 6, we find that the church of Jesus Christ is never mentioned again, because the church is in heaven, as we saw in chapter 5. And so we come to chapter 6, and we come to the revelation of the Antichrist. We know that Satan is a deceiver. We know that he's a counterfeit. We know that he likes to copy everything that God does. And so we have the satanic trinity. The dragon replaces God the Father. The Antichrist replaces God the Son. And the false prophet replaces the Holy Spirit in Satan's economy. We're introduced to the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. From chapter 6 onwards, you find a series of three judgments which take place during the reign of Antichrist, and the first one is known as a seal judgment, and they start in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. The first seal that's opened reveals the Antichrist. John writes in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, he says, "Now I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice, with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse." He saw this white horse, and he said, "He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." This rider on the white horse represents the Antichrist, the counterfeit Messiah. We find the real Messiah in chapter 19, when he too arrives on a white horse. We know that when Antichrist reigns for the first 3.5 years of his reign, Israel will think that he's the real Messiah. And then halfway through the tribulation, Daniel made a prophecy in chapter 9, verse 27. He said that Antichrist will have a 7-year treaty with Israel, and that halfway through he'll break that treaty. And the New Testament tells us that he'll walk into the new temple and declare that he's God, and then the Jews will know that he's not God. That will begin all the seal judgments from the second seal right on to the end of the last three sets of judgments. We're going to learn today 10 facts about the Antichrist and his kingdom. And to do that, we have to go to a summary in the book of Revelation, which you find in Revelation chapter 13. The Antichrist, this man who came on the white horse, he will be the leader of a powerful global political system. John writes about that in Revelation 13:1. He says, "I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea." And this beast represents the Antichrist's kingdom. John describes it. He says it's got 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. So this beast is Antichrist's kingdom, Antichrist's world government, his global government. We notice it's got 7 heads and 10 horns, and we ask now, what on earth does that mean? That many years ago, for trade purposes, the whole world was divided into 10 regions. So this world is already divided into 10 areas. And we know that Antichrist will take those 10 areas because they're 10 horns with 10 crowns on these horns, and he will rule over 10 world leaders, and he will rule over the entire earth in that way. What about 7? It's got 7 heads and 10 horns. I don't know if you've heard about the G7. The group of 7 include the heads of all the industrial nations of the world. They include Britain, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the United States, and Russia. And the G7 control the global economy. We often read about them in the newspapers. Our present global political system already has seven heads, 10 areas and seven heads, exactly what John was saying in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Are we seeing a political alliance of a group of nations in our day that looks powerful enough to eventually rule the world? Everybody knows that we are. Everybody knows. Henry Spark, former Secretary General of NATO and early planner of the ECC, said this: "We do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or devil, we will receive him." And folks, he will get his wish. The second thing that we learn about the Antichrist, about the man, is that he will be empowered by Satan himself. We read that in Revelation 13:2, "The beast which I saw was like a leopard, its feet were like the feet of a bear, its mouth like the mouth of the lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority." The coming of the lawless one, 1 Thessalonians tells us in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So the New Testament confirms that this world ruler that's coming will be empowered by Satan himself. And we warned in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, that great signs and wonders will happen and will deceive many, many people. Daniel gives us some more information about the Antichrist in chapter 11, verse 36. He says, "This king, this world ruler, shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god and speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and he shall prosper. He'll get away with it, but for a short period, till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined has been done." The third thing we learn about this Antichrist from Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, is that he will be identified by a miraculous event. Now, this is referred to about three times in this chapter. We don't know what it means because we're not there yet. It hasn't happened yet. But John says, "And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast." Something supernatural is going to happen to this man that is going to shake the world. And those who hear during the time of the Great Tribulation will know what that means. Verse 4 tells us the fourth thing we learn about the Antichrist is that he will hold the total allegiance of the nations and everybody in the nations. We read in verse 4, "So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Anyone who does not worship and give his allegiance to the Antichrist will be killed. And we read about the martyrs in the Great Tribulation. Number 5, here's something else about the Antichrist revealed in Revelation chapter 13, verse 5. We're told that he will be a great orator. He will be an orator of note. We're told that he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months, which translates into 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years of his reign, he will rule everything, and he will say what he liked, do what he liked, and everybody will worship him. After he declares that he's God, all the other judgments take place, and there's chaos as all the nations invade his kingdom. Number 6, we find in Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, that he will speak great things and blasphemies, which tells us that he will be a godless man. He will have no regard for the Lord God of the Bible, no regard for people or believers. He'll be a totally godless man. Interesting enough, we read that this man, this world ruler, this very powerful world ruler, this supernaturally demonic world ruler, has Jewish roots. Isn't that interesting? If you think back to the type of Antichrist that the Nazi leader, Adolf Hitler, represented, who killed so many of the Jewish people, he was a type of the Antichrist, not the real one. He also had Jewish roots. He hated the Jews, but he had Jewish roots. I think his grandmother was Jewish. Daniel 11:37 tells us he shall not regard the God of his fathers, which tells us that he is Jewish roots. Very interesting. Another thing about the Antichrist that Daniel 11:37 tells us is that he will embrace an alternative lifestyle. Now, we know a lot about this alternative lifestyle that has taken root in our generation. One of the signs of the end of the church age and the coming Antichrist, because we are told in verse 37 of Daniel 11, he will not have a desire for woman. There have been many interpretations of that, but if you read it as it stands, it tells you that he won't have a desire for woman. He will have a desire for men, obviously. And the third thing we learned about him in Daniel 11:37 is that he won't regard any god, but he will exalt himself above them all. In fact, he will believe that he is God because he's got so much power. The seventh thing, and the one I'm very happy to tell you about, is that he has a limited reign of only 3.5 years. He was given authority to continue for only 42 months. He left total control for 3.5 years and experienced total chaos for the rest of his time. The eighth thing that we learn about him is found in Revelation 13 verses 6 and 7. We are told here that he will hate Almighty God and he will hate his followers. And we read, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. The church which is in heaven is blasphemed by Antichrist and insulted by him. And those who get saved on earth, we know that the Lord has got 144,000 anointed Jewish evangelists, and many people will get saved. It's going to be a mighty revival of people who resist the Antichrist and pay with their lives, because it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. No believer will be able to live in the reign of Antichrist. The ninth thing we learn about this Antichrist comes from Revelation 13 verses 7 to 10, which tells us that Antichrist will control the daily lives of people globally. That lost global empire, which is represented by that statue of Nebuchadnezzar, the 10 toes, not only will he rule over them. Verse 7 tells us an authority was given to him over every tribe, every tongue, every language, and every nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. They won't have any choice. They'll either worship him or they'll die. They'll worship him and take his mark, or they will be killed. So all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's got a book. We'll read more about that as we approach the Great White Throne Judgment later in the book of Revelation. And in that book are written all those whose names are written in the book of life who are bound for heaven. Those who serve the Antichrist and take his mark, the Bible says they are blotted out of the book of life and they will lose their place in heaven. Number 10. This man will have an ungodly religious assistant. We call him the false prophet. John writes in 13:11, he says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. He represented religion, even false Christianity. He had these two horns that looked like a lamb, but the minute he opened his mouth, you knew that he was a dragon. Folks, when these things begin to happen, Luke 11:21-28, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Next week, we'll talk about the false prophet and we'll talk about the global religion, but we can already see it happening. We can see a huge movement called the interfaith movement. It's called the New Age movement, when they're trying to put all religions under one umbrella with one leader. And that's going to happen during the reign of Antichrist. The false prophet is going to be in charge of all the religions, and he's going to make them into one religion whose focus is to worship the Antichrist and through him to worship Satan himself. So when these things begin to happen, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Jesus said he's coming back again soon. In the first stage of his return, he's coming back to meet the church in the air, and so shall we be forever with him. The second stage of his return at the end of the 7 years tribulation is coming back with the saints to the Mount of Olives to destroy evil and to bring in his millennial reign and the end of all things. What a future we have. It's a wonderful future. So thank you for sharing this time with me. Until next time, when we talk about the false prophet and his support of the Antichrist. So join me next time, and please visit my website, valwaldeck.com, for more information. God bless you.